I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In just a few minutes, the politics of skin color, not race, skin color, where some people of color still get worked up over skin tone. It's a behind-closed-doors conversation. But first, Halloween is just a couple of days away. For kids, it's a day memories are made of, getting dressed up like a superhero or a princess, going door-to-door for as much candy as their little fists can hold. But as writer Jasmine Darsnik tells us, it can be a special day for grown-ups, too, especially grown-ups seeking an escape from the narrow confines of a foreign world. She told the story in this week's Washington Post Sunday magazine, and she's here with us now from member station KQED in San Francisco. Hi, Jasmine. Welcome.
Nice to be here, Michelle.
Now, Jasmine, we've all heard about parents and grandparents taking the kids trick-or-treating, but your grandmother actually went trick-or-treating. Why did she want to go trick-or-treating with you?
That's right, Michelle. When I was younger and we'd just come to America, she would come out trick-or-treating with me, and she would actually wear a costume. Now, her costume was quite special. It was her prayer shawl, her veil. It wasn't the black chador. It was a sheet with a flower print. I think it had daisies on it, and she would pull it over herself. She was a tiny woman, about 4 feet 8 inches tall, and she'd draw it over herself and cover her face and pretend to be a ghoul. And as I say, when I was younger, we'd head out together. But over the years, of course, I realized this was an unusual partner to have on Halloween night. So I refused to go out with her, but she'd continue going out by herself. She would make her rounds. That's right. My mother would actually drive her around town in our yellow Cadillac convertible. And she'd go from house to house and get her Halloween candies.
Now, I should mention that your family came here from Iran. And did she, you mentioned in the article that this was reminiscent of a Persian holiday, Persian New Year holiday.
That's right. There's a very old Persian tradition. It happens at the time of the Persian New Year, which is celebrated each spring. And in this tradition, children go around their neighborhoods with sheets over their heads, and they carry pots and knock on doors with spoons. Now, she had, of course, done this when she was a child, and I think Halloween, to her, was really a version of this. I've read also, I can't confirm it absolutely, but I've read that our Halloween, in fact, has its origins in this very old Persian tradition of going round and knocking on doors with spoons.
Now, she couldn't speak English. What did she,
no.
She didn't, she, could she get trick-or-treat out? What
you know, I think the fact that she couldn't speak English really worked to her advantage. She would croak out her best approximation of trick-or-treat, which sounded something like trick, trick, and, you know, very much kind of enhanced her ghoulishness.
Did anybody ever catch on?
Not that I know of.
Did they think
I
she just
on.
Had a really excellent costume with the little hands? Because her hands did not look like, I mean, the hands are the one thing you can't hide, right?
Right. I guess under cover of darkness, perhaps even her hands were not anything to give her away.
Now, you mentioned that after a certain point, you became, you know, a teenager and refused to go with Grandma. But before that, did it create a special bond between the two of you, special memory?
Very much so. I mean, she had a great sense of mirthfulness to her. And it wasn't something I saw when we were out together in public. I think you had mentioned she spoke no English. She didn't drive a car. She spent most of her time here in America kind of sequestered in the house and was very shy and fearful of Americans. So there was a grandmother I knew at home who had a great, great sense of fun to her that never came out to play except on this one night. So it was a great, great treat, really, for me when I was a child to see that with her on Halloween.
Now, sadly, you had to report that your grandmother passed away earlier this year, I think it was.
Yes, she died in Tehran this year.
And I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you, Michelle.
What do you think that Halloween will mean to you this year? Now, you're probably not going to go trick-or-treating yourself.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been in many years. And, you know, as we get older, of course, Halloween recedes in our minds. It's really child's play. I think for me, it really is a holiday now that evokes the loss that I felt continually as I was growing up. She would leave us for Iran time and time again. And that's what I feel very keenly now as an adult. And what Halloween really sharpens in my mind is that feeling of loss.
Well, if you could dress up for Halloween, what do you think you'd be? If you forgot, if the spirit moved you, what would it be?
I think I would be something tremendously exotic for me, like a geisha or something like that. I don't think you'd find me out in a chador, in other words.
I think you should go for Spider-Man.
Yeah?
Okay.
You think they make those?
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should go for Spider-Man.
Okay.
Jasmine
All right.
Darznik wrote the piece Masquerade for this weekend's Washington Post Sunday magazine. She joined us from San Francisco, California. If you want to read the piece in its entirety, we'll have a link on our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Jasmine, thanks so much, and thank you for your piece.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Bye-bye.